Tonight, each and every show, we're fortunate enough to kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News to go inside the Beltway, this time with Ellen Ratner. Ellen, you've covered D.C. for quite some time. I always love to get your thoughts on just the overall picture of what's happening with this government shutdown. Have you ever seen the two sides so polarized?
No, I haven't. And that's really because things have been gerrymandered, I think, so much in Congress that somebody from Cambridge, Massachusetts, who's a lib, is not going to budge, and somebody who is from the South and perhaps, you know, North Carolina or South Carolina, as we've seen, is also not going to budge. There's no incentive because you don't have to negotiate with people that are different with you in order to get elected or who have a different point than you do in order to get elected. I've been covering Washington week one. And I've not seen it this bad. There was a government shutdown. We all remember that because we associated with Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
But it was not like this.
Yeah. Do you, your best guess now that we see that there's not really any movement, just conversation afterwards, does this go all the way through next week too and all the way up to the 17th?
Well, I think that there's two issues, of course. One is the debt ceiling. And that looks like that might be dealt with even as soon as this weekend. And then there's the overall government shutdown. Now, they did meet at the White House today, Republicans, for about an hour and a half. They met, I believe, in the Roosevelt Room, the White House, with the president. And they said that there had been progress made, but that's all they would say. They would not give a news conference. They wouldn't say anything. As somebody said on radio, and it wasn't me, the rhetoric has to calm down a bit on both sides. So that's pretty good news.
Yeah, there you go. Besides all that's happening, the back and forth and when it'll be 7 and all that other stuff, what was really interesting today was the Senate banking hearing, and there was all kinds of comments that came out of it, but I thought the best was Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, who said the default is the equivalent of a nuclear bomb. Accountability is closing loopholes. You even picked that out of it, and this really is the big thing going forward, as you just mentioned, to the default, isn't it?
That's right. And they really have to, in terms of the default, they have to try and find out a way that it's just not, A, going to happen, and B, you know, Washington, D.C., which is very dependent on the federal government because so many people work for the federal government or a contractor that live in the District of Columbia, they're losing $500,000 a day in tax revenue. That's a lot of money. And the other thing that is going on is that small restaurants near the White House, near other government facilities, small day places for lunch, et cetera. These people, you know, they're not wealthy people. They have a little shop. They feed people. And they can't afford to be shut down for 2 or 3 weeks, which is essentially what's happening when no workers are coming to work.
Yeah, so it's affecting, and we're seeing this in other places, too. It's affecting people outside the national parks and all that kind of stuff, too. The other big thing,
7 million people, if you base the numbers on last year, have not been able to see our national park.
Oh, that's so sad to me. Oh, very, very sad. The other thing was the Senate Finance Committee, and we knew that this was happening. Jack Lew testifying. So he also talking about the doom and gloom and saying basically, you know, what are we going to do here? He's exhausted all the possibilities and extreme measures and thinking about that date we keep mentioning, October 17th. So for Lew, this is a pretty tight spot to be in very early in his regime, I guess, as a cabinet member, you think?
That's right. I mean, I think he didn't expect this. And, of course, yesterday, General Shinseki was testifying before Congress, and they said, well, why don't you have better plans for the shutdown? And he said, honestly, I never thought this body would shut down the government.
Yeah, honestly, who thought it would get this bad? Ellen Ratner, always fun to chat with you. Thanks so much from Talk Radio News.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so Ellen Ratner, of course, giving us the skinny on what happened in Washington or what hasn't happened in Washington. A little quick, funny aside, I got this text from somebody earlier, and I think now it's being reported all over the place. But did you know that the Capitol clock actually shut down this week? They have, if you've ever been there, they have this 11-foot-tall, 200-year-old clock that is always going. That's right there that you can see if you go and take a tour of the Capitol. It goes all the way back to, so do the math, 1815. And it's stopped. So somehow time stopped for the Ohio clock. And this is, I think, kind of interesting that the clock stopped right as things were stopping in D.C. with this shutdown. But more and more people are realizing how it's affecting, you know, how it's affecting them, whether it's personally through paperwork and things and permits that they're waiting to hear back on. I think I told the story, but if I didn't, I'll tell it again. I have a good friend whose brother-in-law is in the Navy, and he's new to the Navy. He's been in a couple of years, and he's been going to nuke school, I'll call it. And he's getting assigned to Japan. Well, the paperwork is being processed, but now it's going to be further down the road. And the reason why is because we'll have a changeover in the year, because the fiscal year will change after all of this is settled. So all that paperwork for his wife and young child, young baby, have to be redone. So, you know, now that backs that up for months. And if it's happening to him, it's happening to others who have orders. And that's just one tiny, tiny little piece of a military example of what can happen when you have a shutdown. There have been other reports of problems with passports, even though the passport offices in a lot of cases are open. But if it's connected to the big government offices, you know, it's not open. And as Ellen mentioned, other people are affected by this. People who actually make their living, in a sense, off of government workers, and they're everywhere. Whether it's in Philadelphia, whether it's in Washington, whether it's in Seattle or Utah or wherever, pick a place. At the federal buildings now, because of the shutdown, or some of the furloughed people are there where they would normally go into like a coffee shop, or they would go somewhere and grab their newspaper. That's not happening. So the little people are, again, losing the dollars. And I always say this, it comes back to the middle class, whether it's even the middle class of the government or it's the middle class serving the federal workers in their local diners or news magazine hangouts, their little stands or whatever, you know, it might be. Hey, coming up in this hour of America Tonight, a couple of great things for you. We're going to obviously re-rack and recap what's happening in Washington and why you should care, how the ripples have now washed ashore, and it doesn't matter where you're living, you can't get away from them. They're going to lap up against you somehow, some way, as I often say. And we're also going to talk to Derek Green from Project 21 about the fact that, you know, we had no labor statistics, so the unemployment numbers weren't out. And is this a good thing or is this a bad thing for the president and the agenda of saying, oh, yes, we're trying to get more jobs, more jobs, more jobs? Stay with us. More to come on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources, Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Some Tea Party moves worth mentioning. We talk about the government shutdown day 11 and then swinging in through the weekend into next week the way it's looking. Mitch McConnell, who decided he had enough of it and decided he wasn't gonna go to the way of the Tea Party, found that he had the Tea Party endorsement dropped. He was unendorsed. That's like being unfriended on Facebook. So what they said was he, made the conservatives group that was helping to get him elected. It's in the past where he thought he was going to count on them to help get him elected, decided, you know, after what he's done here in this situation, we cannot endorse him. So the Tea Party defended its endorsement of him over the summer, despite the fact that there was a primary challenger named Matt Bevin who had the backing of the local Tea Party groups. But then right from the get-go, now they're saying, okay, now we've seen this. We've seen what's happened with McConnell and how he jumped off the bandwagon with Senator Ted Cruz trying to defund Obamacare. Remember, that's how this whole thing started. So now what's happened is the Senate Conservative Fund has run ads against McConnell, and they're looking for an alternative. And there, of course, is a Tea Party challenger, too, that's also obviously blowing around as well. So what's going to be interesting is these upcoming elections. We're talking about 2014 and then the presidential election in 2016. His clash over the strategy could maybe cost him in the end, because many Tea Party people felt as though Mitch McConnell was stabbing Ted Cruz in the back and hurt him. So, in general, they're saying, why would any conservatives support Mitch McConnell? So while that's happening, the other interesting thing is Donald Trump comes out and he says, I believe in the Tea Party. I like the Tea Party. I'm all about it. I believe in the Tea Party. You know, there's always Donald Trump could run, might run. Oh, isn't it interesting? He's talking about running, but he is saying that he believes in, you know, the billionaire real estate developer who has some cachet. He says he's a believer in the Tea Party. And the reasons he says that, he was on Piers Morgan, I happen to catch it. He says that he likes what Cruz and other people in the Tea Party are doing because they're trying to rein in the debt ceiling and work out a budget deal. And when Piers Morgan asked Trump what he would do if he were in House Speaker John Boehner's shoes with 40 people in his party holding the entire country to ransom, that's when Trump said, I'm a believer in this party because what they want is really right for this country. And that we're in a free fall, and sometimes severe is not so severe, but they really want what's good. So Trump also said that Boehner, Obama, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid all have the country's best interests at heart, but have different beliefs on how to achieve it. And one of Obama's problems is he's not a natural deal maker. So what do you think it is? What do you think about that? You know, the man who Donald Trump, the art of the deal, says that Obama is not a deal maker. And you know what? I would agree with that. That kind of goes into the whole thing to me of why there wasn't a lot of negotiating. The conversation about negotiating stopped because there is no negotiating. That's not how the president operates. And, you know, therein lies the ability to cut deals and really stretch and reach across some wild party lines and being able to do that. And clearly this is not a strength that we haven't seen that anyway in the past with the Prez. And it doesn't look like it's happening anytime in the near future. Of course, something has to get done here. So ultimately, there will be a deal, and he might not be the person who pulls it all together. He may just sign off on it, which is what I eventually think happens, because I don't believe that we're going to smack into the debt ceiling. It's just going to be the Band-Aid approach, but it's getting to the Band-Aid approach. And so far, that has not happened. There was a meeting today with the president and 18 Republicans, 18 congressional, you know, delegates, basically, and nothing happened. There was no moving of the needle whatsoever. There's no big announcement. Oh, let's get this done. We have a good chance to cut some kind of a compromise, and we're going to make it work. No, that didn't happen. It's business as usual. So, no deal. It's back to the drawing board on a debt plan after the meeting with the president. Nothing even, no specifics even were really pointed to. And remember, John Boehner was part of this meeting. They broke it up. They had some optimism heading into it that there might be something that could happen. But the day ended like it started. It's Groundhog Day all over again. So this partial government shutdown is still on. The financial market's still kind of shaky as to whether or not we're going to miss the deadline for the debt ceiling. Both sides say that they're working together trying to make something happen. The original Republican plan called for a 6-week extension of the debt ceiling with no strings attached, but wouldn't resolve the partial government shutdown. Instead, Republicans wanted Obama and the Democrats to make a kind of a commitment to negotiate over this shutdown and a longer term debt ceiling hike for the next step. Longer term debt ceiling hike, and I don't see it. And the president has pushed back on that plan without a doubt. The White House just issued a brief statement saying no specific determination was made, but we're going to look for continued progress. Eric Cantor, the House Republican leader, said the meeting was useful, that there would be more conversations into the night. And Republicans started to work on their stopgap bill late Thursday, but they put it on hold, say they're going to think of another change in the strategy. And Boehner is the guy who's on the hot seat, boy. He's on fire because he's trying to bridge the gap, and he is stuck. He is stuck. I can't imagine that he stays in that speaker spot very long. He barely got it the last time around again. So Boehner saying stuff like it's time for leadership and time's running out to solve the debt ceiling impasse and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you could take the same quotes, the same conversations, and just insert them every day into the space in your local newspaper or even on the local airwaves, because it's the same chaos that is either going right or going left. But the debt ceiling has no feelings. Money has no feelings about who's handling it, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter. What matters is if we don't pay and we're unable to pay interest on the debt, it just makes it that much harder. I agree with Donald Trump that we can't continue to do what we're doing. It's nonsense. And if I were running for president, and this we did hear when we had the debates and we listened to what was said, there was a shift toward taking care of economic problems, but it never happens. It doesn't happen. I mean, this has to be a priority, for goodness sake. Next time around, this has to be a priority. And once this deal is cut, I think it needs to be at the top of the list. Serious work that you have to make this deadline. It's like anybody else in a company, or if there's boards or however they take votes. If you're the leader of a Boy Scout pack, you understand this. Eventually you come to the impasse where whatever is decided, you take the vote and you move on with that. But these guys can't even get beyond that or get to it. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, if you want to throw in your two, you can. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Meet you in a few.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPAC 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
On how you view it. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, rolling through this nonsense in D.C. and how the ripples are affecting you, as I said at the top of this. Well, the risk is recession. There's a recession that looms, and it's not fear-mongering, it's the truth. Money doesn't care about political passions on either side, really, honestly. There is just an ebb and a flow. Now, you can say money can be manipulated. We've seen that. Banks too big to fail, right? The nonsense that's happened on Wall Street, gone wild. Subprime mortgages. There's so many examples of that around us. But just flat out, where the flow is happening now. I mean, this is dysfunctional. First of all, to me, the Federal Reserve, abolish it. And all this nonsense about Janet Yellen and how, you know, hey, the dove is flying in and she's going to solve the crisis. No, she's not. Or I don't know if they were saying she was going to solve the crisis, but she was really good and knew what she was doing and would be such a terrific first female to lead the Federal Reserve. Now, she might be a nice lady. She definitely has credentials and background. And so I'm not really smashing Janet Yellen for that economic-wise. But the direction she would take the money supply, I have a problem with it. It would be the same old thing that we've seen for the last 8 years with Ben Bernanke, the quantitative easing, which is a disaster. This feeds into the deficit frenzy. And the reason it does, folks, is it's very simple to understand this. You're printing money, but you don't even know how much you're printing with nothing to back it up. Hey, we need, something's going on with the economy, so you know what we need? We need to print more money. And when you do that, it's just like handing people monopoly money. You have to think of the money we're printing coming out of Philadelphia, the mints in Denver, those giant sheets of the new Benjamins that cost us more to make and everything else that comes out, all the other denominations. There's nothing backing it up, and that is the problem. So that continues the farce that has become our legacy, debt, 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 debt. And ironically, in 2006, the current president voted against raising the debt ceiling because he said the debt was out of control, which it was not even half of what it is now today, saying that we couldn't afford to do it. And why shouldn't we hold Washington accountable? Now he's in the main seat, the executive branch, and it's like a weed that you just can't seem to get a hold of. And it's a huge problem. But at this point, from where I sit, from where you sit, unless you got a whole bunch of money that you got stacked away, hidden somewhere under the mattresses like the mafia, since we still use that currency, or you have something else, gold, other assets that are of value, you know, we're all in the same boat. They put us in the boat, but we're stuck here. We're stuck here right now. So Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, was before the Finance Committee talking about what happens with the debt ceiling and the limits, and if October 17th comes and we don't push the debt ceiling up so that we can continue to borrow. And here's what Jack Lew said about the system.
Our systems were not designed to not pay our bills. Our systems were all designed to pay our bills. The legal issues are many. I do not know how you could make the decisions. I do not think the legal authorities are clear at all. And I do not think the administrative process would permit the system to work. I don't know how you could possibly choose between Social Security and veterans benefits, between Medicare and food assistance. These are obligations we've made. We wouldn't have the money to necessarily pay our troops in full. We wouldn't have the money to pay our veterans the benefits in full.
Yeah, and isn't that the worst thing of all? Hey, you served our country. Thanks a lot. Good luck, buddy. Oh, you're serving our country right now. Best of luck to you. I hope you get your check. It's ridiculous. And it always goes back to that same question. Rents Priebus, who, of course, is the head of, if you will, the chairman of the Republican Party, had an interesting tweet that I saw just a short while ago. And he said, negotiate, a verb, to discuss something formally in order to make an agreement. At Merriam-Webster, get it. CC at Barack Obama and Senator Reid, poking fun at, obviously, that this is where the wall is. They're not going to negotiate at this point, but you got to negotiate or tank this sucker. And we're all going to crash into the iceberg together. Because we definitely have a recession risk if something doesn't happen at this point. I mean, I'm all for theoretically not raising the debt ceiling because this entanglement should have been handled a long time ago. In fact, it should have been handled in 2006 when Barack Obama was representing Illinois as a senator, but that didn't happen. So if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, what would happen is borrowing for you and I, businesses, credit markets, jobs would be killed. It would be bad. And I know the tentacles would be much longer than I could even express to you in the best possible way on this show. The chain of events that would hit the entire economy and how it would impact all Americans. All the people saying, oh, who cares? Just don't raise the debt ceiling. You'll feel it. Your head will be stuck right through the glass just like the rest of us. And not your fault. But it would not be easily reversible. And then that means we have a constant drain on our economy, which we already have. We're at our debt limit, $16.7 trillion. $16.7 trillion. So if they miss the deadline, if we miss the deadline of October 17th, by even a few days, it would shave about, they say, what did I read? 0.3 percentage point off fourth quarter economic growth. That's how bad it is. But if it extends past November 1st, we would be plunged into a recession. Oh, boy, I don't want to go through a recession. Do you want to go through a recession? So if you're getting Social Security, which you paid into for your whole life, and since you're not a millionaire and you need that extra money, that extra boost, well, you can forget that. Who knows what that would be? I mean, I understand about entitlements being bloated and ridiculous and things. Some things need to be changed, absolutely. But if this happened right away, where would you be? Would you be lost? And you got to make those payments to the Treasury bondholders. Millions of jobs would fall to the wayside. So the chain of events would be legendary stuff. It'd be the stuff that we'd be talking about. Do you remember back in 2013 when Congress didn't lift the debt ceiling? Do you remember what happened? The 2011 debt ceiling standoff, you remember, they had a last-minute deal to avert a crisis. Do you know how much it cost you and I? I mean, this is the kind of stuff you really need to know. How much it cost us? Someone much smarter than I figured this out. $20 billion in higher borrowing costs. So if the government defaults this time, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars that we have to pay. You and I will pay for this. So, yes, in theory, I don't want them to lift the debt ceiling, but I know it'll cripple all of us, and it has to happen. But we're constantly being held over the end of the dock on this, and we shouldn't be. The people that we elect should have figured out what they should have done to not get hammered and be pushed into this corner. There had to be cuts to programs that were just too bloated and ridiculous government-wise, and how have we not seen that? So what happens? You'd see fewer home sales, less construction, less income from transactions, appliances, services, all that kind of stuff. The housing recovery, which finally that's turned around, that would be in serious, serious trouble. Nonprofits, all of those people that depend directly on Treasury interest payments or the ability to actually redeem a maturing note. Any kind of a default would jeopardize that income, which would be chaotic for so, so many people who do good work for other people. Some of the really grassroots nonprofits that are out there in the trenches really helping. So during the 2011 deadlock, the S&P 500 fell 17%. Household wealth dropped by $2.4 trillion. The blow would be even bigger. So what do we do? Raise the debt ceiling or not? Coming up next, we're going to talk numbers of a different sort job-wise with Derek Green from Project 21. Don't go away.
Yeah. My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
I'm a law-abiding citizen, my debts I don't will pay.
Well, once again, I mentioned this last week. We were expecting a jobs report, and of course, the government shut down. No job reports, which means labor statistics probably in the opposite direction, may help this president. I mean, it's crazy. So the government shuts down, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, unfortunately, in a way, give a break to this president. We're seeing some of the rippling effects of now day 11. Going into day 11 of all doors being closed. So who better to kick this around with the jobs and the shutdown and all that affects our economy than Project 21's Derek Green, a frequent visitor to the show. We're lucky to have him. Hey, Derek, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. I know some people that aren't doing very well, and I've heard stories. See, the funny thing about when you have the shutdown on the face, you look at the face of, okay, these many people were furloughed and this happened and that happened. But even in my own personal life, there's been three or four different things that have happened to people I know because the government was shut down. And I think more people are starting to realize this. But as the shutdown continues, especially with the unemployment numbers and the manipulation of, I think, always the labor statistics, does this kind of give the president a break?
You know, I don't think it does. I think the fact that the numbers weren't released for people to discuss the fact that the economy is still not going in the direction that he had campaigned and promised us. Another reason it doesn't give the president a break is because the first few days of the shutdown, he was out constantly talking about, members of his administration and his party were talking about the numbers of Americans who were going to be furloughed because of the government shutdown. Mm. And it seemed to me that they had, it showed more sympathy or empathy with the people who were going to be temporarily now furloughed, who were employed by the federal government. But they didn't seem to extend that same sympathy to the millions upon millions upon millions of Americans who have been furloughed for the last 3, 4, 5 years. It seems to me that public employees get a greater sympathy and get more attention than those who work in the private sector. Now, like you said, the numbers have been continually manipulated, and I think that works in the president's favor because that isn't another nail in his coffin or the narrative that he's been trying to portray for the last several years as it pertains to the economy. You know, last month the unemployment rate was 7.3%, but we know that more and more people were still out of the workforce. The black unemployment rate last month was 13%, again, above that 13% marker, which it's only been below 13% twice since he's been president. Black teen unemployment was 38%, and that was nearing 40%. And it's been 40% and above, I think, 30 times since the president has been elected, and so, or at least since he took office. So, you know, these are the type of numbers that Americans are starting to put together to say, on top of the lack of leadership that we see from the executive office and the members of Congress, America has a lot of work ahead of itself, and we need to kind of put some of these games, put those aside and start, let's take care of business, because, you know, more and more people are starting to say that we're entering a phase of a lost economic generation, and I think that they're being a little bit too light. I think it's more than one generation, because it's going to take us some time to get the economic engine moving back in the right direction and then to start capitalizing on that moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. That's staggering when you say 38% to 40% black teen unemployment. And what does that do to the community when the unemployment's so high?
I would think it would depress the community. I mean, you already see that black high school students don't, they've already received subpar education. And I think I've mentioned this before, but when you combine a subpar education given to us by the teachers union and the Democrat Party on top of months upon months upon months of black teens unable to gain employment, to kind of learn those necessary job skills, so they can kind of move in the right direction up the economic ladder, extend into the middle class, you start to see that not only is America is setting itself up for potential failure, but there's a specific demographic within America that have already been hit the hardest, amongst the hardest, with the economic recession and the so-called recovery, that the people who are backfilling those who are suffering now are going to be in even worse condition than their parents. And so, you know, I see that is going to start, you know, festering a lot of anger, resentment, and however that chooses to manifest itself, we're going to have to pay the consequences. And it generally shows itself with mass riots and demonstrations. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but we've seen it happen before, so I don't think that we should ignore history when trying to predict the future.
And it's funny, the black unemployment number's terrible, but also teenage numbers. And as you say, this generation, the next generation, what's the legacy? What are we leaving them? Isn't it the next generation is supposed to be better off? I think we're going in the opposite direction. And obviously, you pointed to some of the reasons why that is. And I agree with you. How long would it take to turn those numbers around? Could take more than a decade or two. Do you think so?
I do think so. I would say at least a decade. Because, again, what we also have to do besides turning the economic engine around is changing the mentality from the one that makes what we're doing now okay, or the people being apathetic and kind of getting used to it, to changing the mindset to say, okay, not only is this not okay, but now we have to get up and do something and to try to figure out what to do in a constricted economy that's not just suffering because of the lack of jobs, but you actually have employers setting themselves up on hiring freezes. So now if there are jobs, they're not going to be over 30 hours a week. And so now people who are working part-time against, you know, their desires can't find second jobs. So now, you know, things don't happen in a silo. You know, they're all connected. So with the regulations, the lack of jobs, people not willing to hire because of Obamacare, now you have people who are worried about having, quote-unquote, affordable insurance but then can't afford it because they don't have a job. You know, these people are the ones who are having to enroll themselves on welfare, you know, and there's a reason why the president reduced the eligibility standards for that, because you have more and more people who can't find employment who are now looking towards the government. So we have to not only shake that type of government dependency mentality, the mentality that apathy is okay, but we kind of have to reinstill that you know, self-motivation, that desire to kind of go out and start something, and then to, you know, hopefully have that mentality contagious amongst varying sectors of the country and the economy.
Yeah, and you know how that goes, too. How many times I can tell you, I've heard this from people where the unemployment, you're talking about trying to get employment or part-time jobs, the unemployment check that somebody gets sometimes is more than they would get what they could earn going out there and going to these jobs, the ones that are available.
Right.
I mean, even people with degrees. So
right.
Degrees or not degrees, it's got to be even worse if you don't have a degree. So what are people to do? Like you said, you got to shake them up. But how do you shake them up when it's nothing but getting beat over the head with depressing news? Oh, you got to roll in health care, but guess what? You got to pay this much a month. But you don't have a job, and then you can't get this health care that supposedly
right.
is going to be terrific for you. So it's very strange. I don't understand that from actually a president who's a Democrat, and the whole idea is supposed to be, remember, this was part of, and you know this, is what he ran on, and then the second term is to get people working, is to move the economy. But I just don't see it.
I don't see it either, and it's interesting. After 5 years, you start to see a particular pattern where the president and his administration gives lip service to trying to get, you know, America's economy back on track, and I'm fighting for the middle class, and, you know, all these type of empty platitudes that the president has offered up to try to, you know, rah-rah, sis-boom-bah the American public into believing and following his lead, but there's nothing happening. And so, in my opinion, what I'm starting to see is the high rates of people who are on some form of government dependency, the fact that college graduates can't get jobs, and so they're getting the entry-level jobs that some of these black teens need to have, you know, the fact that, you know, Obamacare is going to take disposable income out of everybody's pockets to go to this system that's going to put us in a step towards what he wants is universal payment government health care. You know, what I start to see with this and the lack of leadership in Congress is this is what unchecked or unchallenged liberalism looks like. You know, this is government dependency, health care, people out of work, apathy, you know, people just kind of throwing up their hands and saying whatever, not really paying attention and looking for multiple avenues of escapism because real life sucks, you know, excuse my language, but that's what it is. And it seems to me that this is what liberalism looks like when it's implemented. And so for people have to kind of pay attention and start connecting the dots and say, do we want even more of this? You know, we have an election next year and then another presidential election 2 years from now. You know, people use a lot of hyperbole, but I think that this is a very serious time. These next two elections could determine the course of the country. You know, if people want more of this, and I can't see how they would unless they're in, you know, that inner circle where they don't have to face the consequences of their political decisions, then
sure.
Of course they want more of this. But for those of us who have to deal with these results, this is exactly what liberalism looks like when it's implemented, and I don't think that America can stand much more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%, and I agree on the elections, too. Derek Green, always a pleasure to chat with you. Project 21, we'll talk to you again in the near future.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Derek. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kay. Bye. Bye-bye.
Enrich and enlighten your life with the Awake and Empowered Expo, October 11th through 13th at the Cobo Center in Detroit. Experts from around the world present the latest advancements in holistic health, wellness science, and free energy technology. It's a weekend of insightful lectures, workshops, and discussions, all designed to help you reach your highest potential self. Find the path that will cleanse your body and mind and open doors to a new level of consciousness. Discover the benefits of raw food and juicing. Participate in the meditative practice of Tai Chi. Strengthen the body through yoga and view life-changing documentaries. An amazing array of exhibitors will offer the newest products and services that support a healthy and holistic lifestyle. Visit AwakenEmpoweredExpo.com for tickets. The Awaken Empowered Expo, October 11th through 13th at the Cobo Center in Detroit. Raising global consciousness as we come together to empower ourselves and each other to live to our fullest potential.